Hey, fabulous people. Thank you for tuning in to the Get a Hand Up podcast. And tonight, I'm very excited. I'm hoping to give you a hand up with your holiday marketing. In fact, I was so excited for tonight's podcast. I was really torn between two topics. So I'm just going to premise this now by saying, first of all, there will be some great tips at the end of the podcast, so stay tuned. And I'm chomping at the bit to do the next podcast on AI. That's right, artificial intelligence. And pardon me, I don't usually announce my next podcast in advance, but I am so excited about it because it's finally reached a level where it is within the grasp of literally every marketer or every business at every level. So I'm excited to go down that little yellow brick road with you. But it is November 29th, is it? Which means we are in the heat of holiday season. We just had Black Friday, Cyber Monday, I forgot Small Business Saturday, how could I forget? Cyber Monday and Giving Tuesday. And so this is, folks, everything has, I forgot the most important part. How could I have forgotten? I'm so sorry. Folks, we have with us tonight the extremely, I hear you. Do you hear the build up here? Trying to build you. All right, just tell us what your name is this week.
Trent Reznor.
What?
Trent Reznor.
You dare take the sanctity of the name Trent
Reznor? Trent Reznor.
Okay, Trent, let's go.
Mr. Reznor, do you?
I knew you were going to do that, you son of a... Can't curse on the podcast. Anyway.
I can.
You can't.
Maybe.
You're wasting people's time.
Go ahead.
Let's get back to adulting, please.
Trent Reznor.
So, folks.
Trent.
Here is, you know, the premise that I want you to wrap your head around for tonight's podcast. The entire landscape of what we have considered the traditional shopping season for the holidays, it's all changed. And it affects everything. I think that everyone was aware when Cyber Monday came out in what year, Mike? Did Cyber Monday come out?
With Cyber Monday, it's been around, but it's just like how Black Friday just crept up on us over the last several decades. Cyber Monday kind of became more of a thing in the late 2000s.
Right. It's been like around 10 years. And then 5 to 7 years ago, it was getting really hot. And then, you know, in the last year or 2 years,
it was where I could remember around 2010 when, you know, like retailers would say, hey, you know, shop on our website for Cyber Monday deals. And most people didn't want to pay the exuberant prices for shipping. So they said, right, hey, why am I going to wait 3 days when I could go pick it up right away and not pay a shipping fee?
And people still had that stigma of, oh, do I want to buy something that I didn't see first? And
exactly.
And then in the last couple of years, we've had the rise of Small Business Saturday, which I think is fabulous.
I agree, but I feel that our society is not doing enough for Small Business Saturdays.
Oh, I totally agree with that. Totally agree. And then there's Giving Tuesday, which I, you know, each year in my own marketing, I'm going to struggle to keep that going as a message through clients, through my own channels. It's important. I think it was a really good thing. Whoever, you know, came out with Giving Tuesday, at least one day out of the holiday season that you take to, you know, give back or do something charitable. Anyway, I digress. Throw that all out the window. Throw it all out the window. Because everything is different now. My point is, much like the frog that boils slowly, I believe that in the last couple of years, the traditional schedule of Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday, and then just waiting till the holidays, it's all gone out the window. Black Friday, if anything, is just a pre-sale. Cyber Monday has almost replaced Black Friday because people know, I mean, if you've not heard, Mr. Reznor, I don't know if you heard this, but supposedly Mr. Jeff Bezos is the newest 100 billionaire because of how much Amazon stock went up after Cyber Monday. So that, you know, tells you where that's headed.
Yet Mr. Bezos can't get my toilet paper order right.
I'd like to thank you in advance for pardoning Mr. Reznor from anyway, just moving on. So what I've been observing in marketing over the last couple of years is that different retailers are going to have rolling sales throughout the entire season, meaning, you know, it used to be Black Friday it began, then it became Thanksgiving. Now, on Wednesday before Thanksgiving, they're having pre-Thanksgiving sales. And it's a whole new landscape of holiday marketing. And it is critical that you don't make a very common mistake during this season. And it will definitely be profitable and good for business in many more ways than revenue, to really grab the wheel, you know, get at the helm and be proactive about the new holiday marketing. First thing I'll say, don't alienate your customers. And you may not be putting out any overt or explicit messages that would be offensive to your customers, though I will remind you that society tends to be more PC than ever before, so I think a lot of big brands are really treading lightly in that respect. But when I say don't alienate customers, what I mean is you need to understand this new landscape and this new timeline of holiday marketing, because by getting the timing wrong, meaning by having something that was exclusive to one sale, and it was said to be exclusive to one sale, but then it shows up in your next sale immediately after, you're going to have a lot of really angry customers who went out of their way to get it previously, whereas if you were just transparent with them, they probably would have made the same exact purchase, if not more, and they would have been a lot happier with the overall experience of purchasing with you. And the point that is so important, because the holidays are your best opportunity all year to gain more market share, gain new customers, grow your business, and most of all, increase the lifetime value of your customers. And I'll get to that in a minute. But yes, Mr. Reznor.
Well, let me give an example for those that are listening on podcast land. Always wanted to say that. But I myself over Black Friday weekend, myself and Camille on Thursday, this is one of the bigger trends that has been going on for the last several years that I personally do not agree with. Call me old fashioned, but I feel retailers should be closed on Thanksgiving. And I'll use GameStop as an example. GameStop was open on Thanksgiving from 4 to 10 o'clock. We went to our local GameStop because I had two returns. Because this is where, again, your alienation of your customer and just aggravation. There were two purchases that I made for our children. And it turned out that both games, both video game titles, went down by 50% in price for Black Friday. And they were hyping these things up in their ads weeks before, saying that this would be things you don't go on Black Friday. We ended up going to GameStop. We luckily got an exchange and got the, you know, the price difference. But they kept on advertising all these great sales just for Black Friday only. And then they switched from just Black Friday to Black Friday weekend. And they keep, you know, stressing the fact that it's only going to be available for Black...
Last minute after you've already scrambled and tried exactly. to, you know...
And then so on Sunday, you know, Camille and I decide to make this purchase. And hold and behold, all these GameStops that were making these big deals about this sale for this game, all of them are sold out. Except for the fact that we have to go through three different GameStops to pick this item up because it was an in-store exclusive only. And, you know, I went ahead and did this. It's no big problem. But guess what happens on Cyber Monday?
Don't say no big deal. Someone who goes out...
It's a big deal. But Camille, the thing is, after I come back home at 12:15 in my email box, right before I went to bed, that same title was available for the same price...
Online
for Cyber Monday. And they kept on advertising this from last week, Wednesday, all the way up to Sunday, saying... This is in-store only. We're not going to have this online. And lo and behold, it's online on Monday morning, this past Monday.
And the day before, you wasted a good couple of hours driving around.
Going to three different GameStops to hunt this title down for the kids.
Right.
You know, that is bad. I'm not saying that it's, you know, not uncommon. It's becoming very common. I'm seeing this with a lot of trends with a lot of retailers. Like, whatever they felt that was doing well to bait people into coming to the store because of a good price, now they're just offering it on Cyber Monday. And I have spoken to a lot of people over the past couple of days, and a lot of them are actually going to return the item because now they feel like they got bait and switched.
Exactly. And, folks, I'll tell you, I really hope you're taking this seriously because I was at my desk... when Michael was at his desk and he got that email that it was on sale online at that same price, and literally the first words out of his mouth were, "I'm buying from Amazon from now on." And this is a guy who has been loyal to GameStop since
it was Funko Land back in the 1990s. I mean, let me go ahead and continue this real quickly, Camille. I actually contacted the district manager of GameStop and said, "Look, we just spent about $400 with you guys on Black Friday, only to hold and behold that everything that we purchased on Black Friday was now available on Cyber Monday, even though you told us that this was in store only." And even when we went to the store, you guys say, "Oh, we sold out in the first 10 minutes." Only to hold and behold, the same deal that went through throughout the whole day on Cyber Monday was available without any sold outs or any, you know, being sold out or whatsoever. So, I mean, I asked him, what was the point for us to come in for Black Friday when you offered everything on Black Friday on Cyber Monday?
Let me tell you why this is critical, folks.
Here, and I'll give you another quick example.
Go ahead.
Time, you know, cost of doing business.
Mm-hmm.
I had to put $40 in gas. And 3/4 of my tank is gone from traveling to 4 different GameStops in 3 days to return a product, to exchange a product, and to go hunt down a product that they say they couldn't hold because of high demand. But when I got to the store, there was 56 copies of something else that I wanted. And you're honestly telling me that you're going to sell out of an item with a 56 of this item within 20 minutes.
Folks, please hear me on this. A customer that has shopped with you only 3 times is 10 times as valuable to you as a customer who's only shopped with you once. That is an enormous jump in customer lifetime value. They're going to buy on average well over 60% more per order. They're more likely to spread word of mouth to others. So many things are critical that you have to think about in the customer experience. Now, one thing I know about Michael or Trent here, I'm sorry, I can't call you Mr. Reznor, it's got to be Trent, is that he is a gamer, hardcore gamer. He has been loyal to GameStop since it was Funko Land, and before that it was Electronics Boutique, and Lord knows how far back it goes, but the amount of money that this man has spent with this corporation is absolutely ridiculous. Literally ridiculous. The amount of loyalty points that he has racked up in his customer loyalty account, I'm sorry, I don't, what is it, game rewards or whatever,
600,000?
600,000 loyalty points he's racked up. If a man like that has a bad experience and the first words out of his mouth are, I'm shopping with Amazon from now on, that is a serious loss. That is a customer you do not want to lose. So please be transparent. Do not alienate your customers. And guess what? If you find out that a sale worked out really well and you want to carry it over to Cyber Monday or whatever, that maybe you want to extend the sale all weekend, be very transparent with your customers or your clientele. And for those who did make the effort to come out and get it on Black Friday, give them a little something. Give them a $3 coupon on their next purchase if you're, you know, a store like GameStop. Just a little something that says, hey, for your trouble, just so that you don't feel baited and switched. I think that's really important. And that way you keep their loyalty and you make sure that they come back to you a couple more times before the holiday season's over. The other thing is the definition of the normal family. You know, we still keep seeing commercials and ads and print ads. It's, you know, we're bombarded with marketing messages throughout the days and weeks. And one of the growing problems that the general world of marketing as a whole has ignored is that more people are spending the holidays alone than ever before. Now, this could be a good thing, it could be a bad thing, it is really on a case-by-case basis, but when you're approaching 40% of your market not spending their holiday in the way that you're portraying them in your marketing messages and your ads, let me repeat that, 4 out of 10 people do not relate to the image of them that you're putting out there in your marketing. And so what does that do? It alienates those people. And 40% is a pretty good chunk. And so that 40% says, wait a minute, I don't have a spouse, 3 kids, 2 dogs, and a white picket fence.
May I interject for a second? You know, I love to debate with you on this, Camille.
Take it away, Trent.
Thank you. What it is in our society, and I'll be completely transparent and frank about this, our society has this stigmata that, I'm using the wrong word, but this...
Stigma.
Stigma, you know, for those that say stigmata, I say that. But anyway, stigma of the fact that every home is a family of 4.5 to 5 with a dog or a cat and a white picket fence.
And extended relatives, notice in all the ads. And extended relatives
where the husband hates his father-in-law, the wife hates her mother-in-law. And we have this stigma of that's what the, you know, the shopping family is. Where the truth is, there's a lot of homes where the family is broken. I don't want to go into this very deeply, but, you know, there's homes where the mother and father are single parents.
Don't avoid it. It's become nearly half of our society.
Or like for us, we're a couple ourselves and we're interracial. So we're not seeing enough ads in which they're targeting what's really going on. They're targeting something that was supposed to be the stigma back in the 50s and 40s, right after World War II. You know, the white picket fence, the family of five, the household
the
dog.
The Norman Rockwell feel,
where they're not targeting what is currently. You know, one of the big problems with the holiday marketing trend is millennials. Millennials do not shop unless they see it on a millennial channel, such as Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and so forth. And, you know, that's another market that they're not targeting. And that's why when you mention all this, that a lot of retailers are not targeting what is really going on. They're just sticking to the same bread and butter.
Exactly. And, you know, if you're a business and you sell a product or service that people would buy over the holiday season, one of the things you need to understand is that a lot of these people are purchasing for themselves. They purchase gifts for themselves at the holidays. So go ahead and run a campaign about spoil yourself or you deserve it. You know, put out a gift guide about best gifts for yourself, because there's a whole segment of an audience out there that fits this alternative description, which statistically by the numbers is really no longer quote unquote alternative. You know, it's now an undeniable part of our society.
Very much so.
I think that a lot of brands would really resonate with people and get some, I mean, even you can get customer loyalty just by people who really resonate with your ads and really like the message behind them. So
I'll interject. Coca-Cola, every holiday season they have the polar bear drinking the Coke. That's iconic now. You know, whereas Santa, how people don't know how Santa came about in our society. It's been the last century. It was on Adam Ruins Everything, if I remember correctly, how it was used as...
Great TV show, oh, yes. By the way.
But, you know, Camille, let me ask you this question. And if you see an ad for... we all know you're a big Max Ezra fan and BCBG.
Max Azria.
Azria, I know. I only wear 6XL. But any case... How would you relate if you saw your famous designer when he's releasing commercials that are not targeting towards you personally or targeting towards the husband and wife with the three kids and the dog? Would you be less attracted to that brand because you feel that this, you know, this designer is not targeting for something that you want?
That's a really interesting question, because you're giving me a hypothetical example of a brand that I've already been loyal to, already love, but now I'm seeing marketing messages from them that I can't relate to because, you know, they're doing the Norman Rockwell thing still, just modernized. I would not resonate with it. I mean, it would, put it this way, my standards would shoot up so high that the dress I saw or the shoes or the bag, whatever the case, it would have to be so gorgeous that I look past the rest of the ad in order to be interested. Because I see ads all day long where I see the parents, the kids, they're bringing home this enormous tree. Guess what? We're making our tree out of all LED lights.
Here's an interesting statistic. It is true. I was talking to a friend of mine. She works
Disco
on Wall
Christmas.
Street. She actually said, Toys R Us, this is an interesting statistic. From 1991 all the way up to 2000, Toys R Us was always running their brand marketing with the average family, with the children going downstairs, opening gifts and everything. But they ran the same type of ad. You know, different, you know, actors and actresses. But from 2001 to 2006, using the same ad, they have lost 53% of their core target audience.
There you go.
53%.
That's my point.
In 6 years. So they, in 2007, they had to change their strategy to make it more unique. And even then, because they were not focusing on their focus groups of who's coming to Toys R Us, what they're purchasing and so forth, they were sending the wrong messages, and all of a sudden these same loyal customers that grew up going to Toys R Us to buy toys for their kids were going elsewhere because of their marketing, you know, strategies.
And yeah, how many single parents got sick of seeing ads that really didn't feel as though they had anything to do with them? Another thing, you know, I'm going to mention this in a minute, but in terms of not alienating customers or just embracing the new landscape, messenger marketing. I don't even know if I'll have time to go into it on the podcast.
You do.
I think maybe it'll be more in the AI podcast, but if you're not yet using messenger marketing, really look into it, because it's an amazing way. Just a very quick example. Let's say GameStop knew that they upset a lot of customers. I'm really trying to keep this PG, you know. Let's just say they pissed off a lot of customers who came out either on Thanksgiving or on Black Friday, and had to drive store to store only to find it online the next day at the very same sale price, if not even cheaper. GameStop could put out a sponsored Facebook post that says, you know, or were you disappointed by, you know, coming out, and or are you sad that you didn't get the Cyber Monday deal or didn't know about it? Here's, you know, a discount code for your next purchase. Just type discount in the comment below. And once a person just writes discount in a comment, that's it, one word, then your page, your brand page, now sends them a message through Messenger with a discount code. And now that page, your business page, potentially, has the right, just as in email marketing, to continue engaging that customer on Facebook through Messenger on an ongoing basis. Now, if you're wondering, oh, well, how valuable is that? Over an 80% conversion rate. I'm going to, that pause was deliberate, pardon me. Over an 80% conversion rate on messenger marketing so far. It is very new. It is very young. It is applicable to literally anyone, any industry, any demographic targeted, you name it. You can work it into your strategy. But with over 80% for a conversion rate, take advantage of that in your holiday marketing, definitely. And that segues perfectly into using automation. I was going to mention messenger marketing. You can tell I'm excited about this. I'm excited in general about AI becoming accessible to everyone. But anyway, moving on. Outsource if needed. You know, you can now tag products and services in posts on social media. So if you're not pushing hard on social media for holiday marketing, you are missing out big. Everyone is on social media right now looking at holiday deals, new products, product launches, sales, discounts, coupons. Definitely be on social media now. And if you need to, outsource. I've mentioned this before when we were talking, we had a little debate about remote workers and whatnot. Guess what? More companies than you probably could think of outsource, especially around the holidays, to people working all over the country, often in Canada as well, as customer service reps, and they're working from their home offices, and what they're doing is they're improving customer experiences all the time, all day, every day, by helping people resolve their issues. The brands are able, and the companies are able, to handle a much higher load of customer service needs, orders, returns, exchanges, what have you. And again, it's all about making that customer experience, from your marketing message to the actual purchasing experience, the best you possibly can. Because that's the only way that you are going to increase the customer lifetime value with your holiday marketing. So, Let's see, what do I have up next here?
Well, here, before you go to the next one, yeah, about, you know, outsourcing and so forth, Hulu. Hulu is now offering live TV, and, you know, Camille and I, you know, have been considering going to Hulu, and we had a couple of questions. It was a late Saturday night, and I thought to myself, oh, God, I'm going to call an overseas call center. I'm going to find someone that doesn't know what they're talking about, and to my pleasant surprise, we actually got a gentleman here in the U.S. They told us that I think only 2 days out of the year where they outsource to India, but all their call center calls 24/7 are routed to the U.S. to someone that's trained and fully knowledgeable. Of course, this gentleman was at home. I could hear his kids playing in the background because they were playing Star Wars Battlefront. So I commented about that, and he and I talked for a few moments, but he was able to answer my questions. He was able to help me find out some more information that I was not aware of. And because of that, it made me more loyal to Hulu and make our decision about, you know, what we're going to do in the future by using the Hulu product. So.
And this is by no means in any shape or form, a racial thing or anything like that. Michael and I both have worked for foreign-owned corporations. I have been in a position where I was the head of a department that had an enormous base of overseas staff in India. And I can tell you that a lot of them are not only still some of my closest friends, but some of them are actually more American than most Americans I know. I don't know how that happens, but it is. But the point is that the very next day when Trent called Sling, it took two different representatives overseas, and there still really wasn't resolution there. There was a gap. So you really do get what you pay for, not just in terms of being a consumer, but also in what you spend as a business. If you really want that customer loyalty, if you really want fabulous marketing throughout the holidays, go ahead and spring for some extra help. Make it so that it is, you know, just as your marketing messages want to resonate with your target audience, you need your customer support to resonate with them as well. You know, it doesn't do them any good if they try to reach out to your company and they can't have a smooth conversation about what they're experiencing with your product or service. Here's a shocking fact. 41% of an e-commerce's store's revenue is created by 8% of its customers who are repeat. Now, we've all heard that, you know, 80-20 rule. Is that it, the 80-20 rule? You know, 80% of your income comes from 20% of your customers?
Yes.
Well, for e-commerce, 41% of an e-commerce store's revenue is created by 8% of its customers who are repeat. After a third purchase, a customer has a 54% chance of making another purchase. Like I said before, a customer on average is worth 10 times more to you after their third purchase as they are after their first. So you need, pardon me, I'm getting a little hoarse. 10 times as valuable after their third purchase than after their first. So you need to reach out to these people. You need to be retargeting. Messenger marketing allows you to target people who have already interacted with your page. That's like shooting fish in a barrel in marketing terms. So definitely, folks, you know, that's, I think that's about it. I wanted to top it off with some great tips. You know, again, don't forget word of mouth, holiday, repeat customers. They are going to be your strongest sources of word of mouth. Have your employees, your customer service reps, even your executive management, everyone, at the top of their game. a few tips that I wanted to share, just, you know, off the cuff. Live video, even if it's pre-recorded video that you put up as live, whatever the case may be, you know that video is king. By the year 2020, 80% of all internet traffic will be accounted for by video. So don't wait on that. If you've been waiting on that, it's time to move on that. So use video in the marketing. And, you know, for lack of ideas, do an unboxing or a user video. Maybe you're unboxing a toy. Maybe you're demonstrating how to use a product. Maybe it's a video on a service, but you're explaining how that service will benefit your potential clientele. Another great one, partner with a nonprofit. You know, especially people who are spending the holidays alone and they're spending money on gifts for themselves, it feels all that much better to partner with a great cause. And that way they feel that they're not just spending money on themselves over the holidays, because yes, they do deserve it, but they also feel as though they're doing something important for the rest of the world, or something that's important to them. Social listening, definitely kick up your social listening. You know, listen to for mentions of your brand. And I'll go back to Trent Reznor's GameStop experience this past week. Have your marketing people listening for social media posts about your brand. Because if you see that there's a problem there and a lot of people are complaining about the same things, you need to know about it just as much as you need to know if there's something that works. And there's a lot of social posts out there, or, you know, in forums and whatnot, maybe Yahoo forums, about how happy someone was with, you know, interacting or purchasing from you. So definitely up your social listening. And aside from that, you know, there, you could always tug on the feels. What are you waving your hand for?
Something I wanted to mention. For those companies that run loyalty programs, like how you mentioned earlier, reward your customers, especially around the holidays. A lot of these people, like myself, hoard points throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for new customers, you know, if you're offering like an incentive program where you, you know, like how Pep Boys does or how Jersey Mike's does and so forth, offer a bigger bonus, like, you know, 10 times more points for the first purchase if they sign up for the rewards program. And, you know, for those that have been loyal to your brand for like a year or longer.
Oh, yeah. Reward them.
Yeah. Reward them with tripled points for every purchase they make. That creates repeat business, especially for those brick and mortars that do, you know, that service food or
mm-hmm.
or anything, or like coffee. When they hear triple points, I'm going to be more inclined to say, hey, I get triple points if I buy from them today.
And I also know that you're a lot more likely to do something that has a charitable.
Yes, if you offer like triple points, like if you're running for something for charity, say, hey, if you donate $1 to St. Jude's, right, then you get triple points on your purchase.
And homeless veterans, it could be exactly. A local cause, your local ASPCA. People love this.
Don't ever ignore the fact that rewards customers that are signed up for your rewards program spend up to 17 times more with a loyal company that rewards them more during the holidays. And this is from 2009, a study from 2009 to 2016.
And I am so glad you brought this, because there may be some listeners out there saying, you know, are you trying to mash together a podcast about an entirely new holiday marketing landscape with customer loyalty? Yes, I am. And I'm not apologizing for it. Why? Mr. Reznor just told you how much more valuable a repeat customer is. I've been saying that as well. Let's say in any given day in May, your chances at turning any given customer into a repeat loyal customer with that much value is about 1 in 20. And I'm just guessing here. During the holidays, your chances are now maybe 1 in 3, 1 in 4 to have somebody come back and purchase from you again. So that is enormous. Definitely take advantage of this time if for no other reason then you have a stronger chance now not only to gain new customers but to increase the lifetime value of customers exponentially. I mean, that's everything about growing your business. And it all comes down to your marketing. It's all about embracing a new generation of holiday marketing. So, my last point before I bring this podcast to a close is don't forget to pull on the feels. Use common sense. People love to feel warm and fuzzy or motivated or inspired all year. We know this. This is not any new information or it's not any rocket science. When it comes to ads, advertising, social media posts, you name it, people love things that tug on the heartstrings, whether it's cats, bacon, nostalgia, flashbacks, you know, to the 70s or 60s or 80s, whenever it was when they were kids. Tug on the feels. Go for the heartstrings. Sprinkle in some nostalgia. Make it warm and fuzzy and cute. If you can keep that in alignment with your brand voice, of course, but there's always a way to work in an emotion, a story to your marketing message.
Very much so. I totally agree. As always, guys, gals, everyone listening in podcast land, any questions, comments, concerns, or just want to say hi to Camille, use the hashtag AskCamille.
And find me anywhere.
Anywhere. Even underneath the rock or at
Would you stop?
Or at a online.
Or at 2 a.m. with a chocolate bar in my mouth. And
Trust me, when you wake up near Camille, there's always an adventure. Trust me.
Thanks, dear. Anyway, thank you so much for tuning in. Remember that money is replaceable, time is not. So I hope I've made this valuable for you. And remember that when it comes to your customers' time as well. Make sure that they spend more of it with you after this holiday season. So thanks for tuning in, everyone. And reach out with any questions, comments, arguments. I love to hear them. Take care.
Take care.